He is a mighty good God. And He's worthy of all the praise that we could give Him. In fact, He's far more worthy than the praise that I could ever give Him or express vocally or emotionally. That doesn't mean I can't try. I appreciate even on a midweek service when folks are tired and have worked and been in the world today and a few days, that you can come in to, and this word is becoming more precious to me. The older I get, you can come into the sanctuary and it be a place where you can come and be at peace and the Lord can move. I know God moves at home and I'm thankful for that. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble, but there is something refreshing about being in the house of the Lord with the people of God and being able to together say, He is a mighty good God. Amen. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Not just me. This isn't a one-man show. This is an us thing. And when we come together as the people of God, it's a beautiful thing what God wants to do amongst His people. Amen. Let's turn to the book of John tonight, chapter number 6. I so appreciate the way that the service has moved tonight and just the different aspects of confirmation for the word tonight. Sometimes when you are, or I guess when I am, I should say, preparing a message, there's different aims that you can shoot for and feel a little bit directed to, and I'm kind of divided into two different categories tonight. So I'm going to preach them both shorter, all right? And they go together. I just feel like it would help us a little bit more if we did that tonight. I want to preach tonight on the ABCs of sliding or staying. The ABCs of sliding or staying. You know, it's amazing to me how we have elders in the church tonight who literally have been with the Lord for over 40 or 50 years, and maybe even some over 60 years. There's something beautiful about the keeping power of Jesus Christ. I showed her picture before. Grandma Todd is in the nursing home in Inglewood that we go to. I love Grandma Todd. She gives a kiss to every one of our young people at the end of every service. And I can't say praise the Lord anymore without hearing her voice. Praise the Lord. And just the way she says it, I love it. She's, I believe, 95, 96 years old, has been serving God since she was a teenager and has raised her children in the house of the Lord. And I'm amazed at the keeping power of Jesus Christ. You do not have to backslide. You do not have to fall away. You do not have to give in to the world, to concede, to conform. It is a choice that every believer makes on a daily basis. And I feel compelled tonight to preach to you the definitive difference, and I feel we can see it in one story. Those who decide and make a clear decision to slide away from serving Christ and following after Him, or those who with a clear hearted decision, a cemented decision, if you will, one that is steadfast, that says, you know what, there's no other place to go. Amen. We've done what's been in the world, and that is not an option that I see as feasible to go ahead and leave. So we might as well stay and stick it out and make it all the way with Christ. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of the church that sticks it out. You know what? I don't believe in just crawling into heaven and saying, well, thank God we made it and we were only just making it by the skin of our teeth. No, I believe in a triumphant, living, abundant church. Amen. We have conceded so much in this day and hour. Amen. To the enemy and to our flesh and to the world. Amen. It is time for the people of God to get some cement back in their spirits. Amen. To get some steadfastness that says, no matter what, I am serving Jesus Christ. He is everything to me. He's who I want to serve. He's who I live for. And He is my God. Hallelujah. And I believe we're in a church tonight of folks that believe that way. But I also know that we are living in the final hours of prophecy. Pastor has so clearly been expounding to us the signs that are all around us. In Matthew chapter 24, amen, the Lord gave a prophetic word, and in that he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I used to believe that because the world would become so sinful, people would just have to go ahead and become cold in their spirit. But I don't believe that's what the Lord was saying. If you look at the context, he is telling us that because iniquity abounds amongst the people of God, folks become cold spiritually, or rather, they become conformed to the idea of sin being prevalent in their lives, or rather, desensitized to sin. Amen. We are living in a church world that is desensitized to sin. Amen. When we can sit and entertain ourselves with the things of the world that God in his word said was abominable, said that it was an abomination to speak about it, and furthermore to watch it, we are desensitized. Amen. When we entertain the concepts that Satan has tried to implore throughout scriptures, and now we are talking about utilizing them in the church, we are desensitized. I pray to God that he would shake us to our very core, that we would see it's Jesus Christ or nothing. It's got to be God or it's going to be the ways of hell. We must get back to Christ if we're going to make it, church. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the church world in general. Amen. I'm thankful for the keeping power of Jesus Christ. I've said it once or twice already tonight, but I want to drive it home. You do not have to slide away. You can stand with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get to our text tonight, the book of John, chapter number 6 and verse number 64. This is at the very end of a long sermon series that Jesus is teaching to his disciples and the followers that have come after him. And Jesus says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Judas is also in this group of individuals, and it later determines that he is also there and that he is the one who would betray Christ. From that time, I'm sorry, let's go back to verse 65. He said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Amen. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Oh, what a tragic verse. What a tragic statement, but we are still seeing this verse in action in this very hour. There are folks that have served God for longer than I've even been alive, and yet now, for some reason, they are changing and choosing to go another way and conceding that what they have lived for so many years, or even maybe a few days, it was not worth it. Can I tell you, friend, hey man, I've been serving God now for 12 years, and it has been the best decision of my life. 15 years, my math was fuzzy. 15 years, but it has been the best decision of my life. God changed me. Amen. When we forget the change that Christ makes in our hearts and our lives, we will forget why we're serving Jesus. But if we'll remember and go back to the old days and remember what it felt like when we were in Egypt and Satan's bondage, it will not be a hard decision to stay with the master of our souls. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us tonight. Amen. Many follower went back and walked no more with him. Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will you also go away? I'd like to ask you that question tonight. Are you going to go away? Is it your decision to stay or to slide? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have them. They're not in Caesar. Amen. They're not in anyone else but you. And we believe and are sure that you are the Christ. Hallelujah. The Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Scroll down here, I'm sorry. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Amen. I just want to preach for a little while tonight on the ABCs of sliding or staying. Church, I'd ask you if we could just pray tonight that there'd be a sense of eternity in the house. Could we do that? Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for your word. You know the burden that you've placed on my heart. And I pray that you would express it, oh God, in a way I could never do on my own. You are everything that we need. Tonight I pray that you would knock on the corridors of our hearts, that you would convict of sin and convince of your righteousness. And Lord, the changing power that you have, I pray that we would embrace you tonight and all over again lay our lives down at the altar of sacrifice. Serve you in sincerity and truth. Lord, we need you tonight. I pray you'd be exalted, Lord. Have your way. Hallelujah. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. I want to ask our young people tonight to do me a favor. Many of you use the Bible app on your iPod, iPhone, or iPad, or any other device, and I appreciate that. But I want to ask you tonight to turn off your phones or any other device you may have, because I want to speak to you tonight and I need your attention. I want you to listen tonight to what God is saying. Many times we get into a place of normalcy where we continue to live the same way and becomes a habit, and we can get into a habit of not hearing what God is speaking to us. Someone said the other night, and it's so true, many times we hear the word of God preached and the very one that needs to hear it either is not engaged in listening or is not present to receive what God would have wanted them to hear. I want you to hear me tonight and hear the word of the Lord. And I appreciate you for doing that. The ABCs of sliding are as follows. You begin to see an absence of that individual amongst the body of Christ. In the book of John, chapter number 6, Jesus is teaching some thick material to his disciples and the followers, and he tells them a statement he has not made yet up to this point. He tells them definitively, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of heaven. I have been sent from the Father, and if you are going to live, it is going to be because you are going to live through me. You must eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. This statement was confusing to the Jews. They did not understand the fullness of what Christ was saying and began to press him further. How can we eat of your flesh? How can we partake of what is alive? And he begins to even furthermore tell them that they must live in him, because it is his life that they're going to live in. From that day forward, many people, many disciples found this to be a hard saying, one that they would not accept. They enjoyed the miracles. They loved to see what Christ was doing amongst the individuals in the marketplace, those who were sick, those who were weary. Yet when it came to a moment of decision, serve me, I am the only way to know what true living is, I am life, they walked away, and there was a definitive absence of their void being there. I mean, imagine a whole crowd of individuals always around you, and then all at once, the Bible said, many disciples stopped following that day. What had once been a huge display of individuals is now left to a sparse crowd of those who are now searching in their own minds and their own hearts, what is truth? Even today, when individuals leave and backslide and walk away, the ripple effect that takes place in their absence is always felt by more than just the individual themselves. When someone who has served Christ and then leaves Christ in the body of Christ, there is an absence and you feel it. You feel it with a lack of their worship. You feel it in the void of their not being there to pray. You feel it with the void of their fellowship and the absence of their camaraderie. it always brings about a ripple effect and a negative reaction in the body of Christ. Many times when folks, even in terms of leaving, there's just a void there that can be felt by others. And absence is the first true sign of sliding. To begin to skip church and skip the fellowship of church for other various reasons is a clear indication that our hearts are leaving or leading us in a different direction. For whatever excuse that can be given all of a sudden is more valid than being at the house of God, where that ought to be our ultimate reason and ultimate place of being. Amen. I have found it is amazing, and it boggles my mind how every other thing is not skippable except for church. It has become a secondary place, a place that has only required me there at a certain amount of time so that I can make sure I've done my duty, but not engaged in an actual relationship and encounter with the God that I claim to serve. An absence is a clear indication that our hearts are leaving. When everything else is able to substitute itself in the very lordship of our lives, God becomes a secondary and our will becomes a primary. Amen. Church, help me preach tonight. I'm trying to let you know that we must be connected to Jesus Christ. We have got to continue in the things which we know and have heard of and believe. It is the day and the hour to draw close to Jesus Christ. He is everything that we need. Amen. We're finding substitutes for everything in life today. Substitutes, if you can't afford Coke, go ahead and get Thunder Cola or something like that. We've got a substitute for everything, an off-brand, a cheap gimmick, if you will. But there has never been, nor will there ever be, a substitute for Jesus Christ. Men have tried it. Women have tried it. Amen. Young men and young ladies have substituted, amen, their activities for him, and it always ends up in destruction. Can I tell you that God wants us to stay with him, not because it's just the cool thing to do, because we need him. He knows that this is the plan to make it to heaven. Hallelujah. Second thing that causes sliding is bitterness. Amen. I have the other thing in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said that folks would be easily offended. Oh, yes, sir. We are living in a sensitive spiritual world, where the slightest look is a cause for a split, or to leave, or to get hurt, and to hold bitterness in life. I'm telling you what, bitterness is a clear sign of sliding. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who seek God and after righteousness. Never once did he encourage bitterness. In fact, bitterness is merely our attention being placed upon us rather than on Christ. We have all been hurt at one point in our lives, and I pray that God would help us tonight. I know there have been cases where folks have been treated horribly in their lifetime, but can I tell you that that bitterness will be a far greater prison for the remainder of your life than the very act that was committed against you in the first place? I want you to know God can deliver us of the bitterness that would divide us, that would separate the body of Christ. Bitterness is cancer. Amen. It is a disease that spreads. God help us that he would pour in his love and forgiveness and his spirit into our hearts, that we would search after him and not slide away. Amen. The next thing is complacency. Amen. Complacency. Folks that have served God and known God, and yet they find themselves bored with God, and so they begin to search for other things to fill their time and their void. Amen. It's the next greatest thing. It's the next friend. It's the next relationship. In some places, it's the next high. Oh, God, help us that we would get out of our complacency. Complacency is the attitude of nothing matters. I'm fine. You, when anybody approaches an individual that is complacent and is worried or feels a need to, brother, sister, come. Hey, man, there's something going on. No, I'm fine. A stiff arm is placed up in their lives because they see that if they recognize that they're complacent, then they'll have to change. And they like where they're at. Hey, man, it's a comfortable place. Hey, man, I'm telling you, Christ wants us to go up to another level. Amen. Jesus wants us to go higher. Amen. He wants us to walk deeper with him. Amen. He would love for us tonight to launch out into the deep things of God and not be settling into the spiritual, amen, emptiness that the world offers. Complacency. I'm hurrying. Complacency, a clear sign of it is when things that talk about what Christ did for us no longer move us. When songs like I Never Shall Forget the Day don't mean anything to us anymore because we have forgotten. When songs about the blood and what Christ did for us on Calvary are no longer in our level of awe anymore, we've begun to be complacent. Amen. We've all got a tendency of this because it is in the mundane that we find that we walk daily with Christ. Not every day is a spiritual high. Not every day is revival. We work. We live. We raise our children. We have to go into the world. We have to do things. But it is in the consistency that we find Christ's faithfulness, not in complacency. Amen. It is in consistency that we find, amen, Christ's faithfulness. My brothers and sisters, hear me tonight. May we begin to pray, even from this point on, God, shake us. Move us. Amen. Get us in a place where we can hear and feel and know the presence of God again. Amen. Sister Judy, I have never forgotten the devotion that you did at school when I was just a little boy with the Italian salad dressing, and how that if you leave it after a while, the oil, amen, and the different parts of that dressing will separate. And it's only when you begin to shake it that those things come together again in the manner in which they were intended to be. We find ourselves many times settling into a spiritual coma, amen, only praying that God would come by and shake us again, amen, to feel the Spirit of God. He is everything that we need tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The ABCs of staying are as follows. Let's follow Peter's lead and the remaining of the disciples and acknowledge that Jesus is our only hope and answer. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh God, help us if we forget. It's because of the blood that we're here tonight, church. We are nothing without Jesus. We are nothing without Him. Amen. If we don't have Christ, we're nothing more than a fellowship or a club. But Jesus is the life changer. And every one of us in this room could say that we must have God to change us. Amen. We try to do it on our own and we fail. Amen. It's only acknowledging that Jesus is the solution that we find. He is there. He is everything that we need. Many of the greatest revivals that have ever happened on the face of the earth have happened because men and women and boys and girls have acknowledged that they are helpless without Jesus, that we are fallen, that we are sinners, that we confess that we need Him. And all of a sudden, by acknowledging that He is God, we place ourselves under subjection to His authority and in His rule, acknowledging that we cannot live and move and breathe without His daily working in our lives. Amen. Men, we cannot father, amen, without the Spirit of God in the way He wants us to. Mothers, you cannot mother without the Spirit of God daily involving yourselves or Himself in your life. Children, we cannot fulfill the Word of God and live a triumphant life if we are not daily connecting to Jesus Christ. May we acknowledge again that we are weak, but He is strong. Amen. That we are helpless, but He is our fortress. Hallelujah. God is everything that we need. It's all about Jesus. We acknowledge that we are nothing without Him. The second thing is we believe. We believe that He is who He says He is, no matter what the world says about us, no matter what the world laughs at, talks about, throws at us. We know who we believe in. Belief is a strong thing, and belief is being attacked on every point, especially in our youth. What do I believe? Amen. Pastor and I, even in the last year, went twice through, amen, our Pentecostal distinctives and who we are and what we believe and why we believe it. But can I tell you, it does not do anything for me to just have a head knowledge of the truth. I have to have a heart relationship with Jesus, a belief that is founded in the very core of my being, a belief that is settled even in the depths of heaven, amen, that says I am going to stay with Christ because He is God and He is the God and He is holy and He is righteous. Tell me again, church, do we believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Yes, we believe. Do we believe that He is our hope? Yes, we believe. Amen. Do we believe that He is our sanctification? Yes, we believe. Do we believe there's a hope of eternal life? Yes, we believe. Do we believe that eternal life is in heaven? Yes, we believe. We believe in Jesus tonight. We believe in God. I believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I believe in healing. Amen. I believe in the definitive works of the Spirit. Amen. Replicating the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as the image of Jesus in our daily walk. I believe in God. Hallelujah. Amen. The world wants you to stop believing. It is uncomfortable with your belief. I pray to God tonight we would believe again. Oh, I pray to God we would believe again. When we are living on emotional highs, that belief is merely placed in a specific location. It is not in the God who spans all of eternity. When we live for youth camp only, young people, we are living a life that is specific to one spot. And yet God inhabits all of the world. And the Bible said that He dwells in tabernacles not made with hands, but in the hearts of mankind. I believe in a God that changed my life. Hallelujah. Oh, let's believe again, church. I know a lot of folks are stopping their belief, and I know a lot of folks are changing their beliefs. Oh, but it's time that we believe again in the things of God and the truths of His Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Finally, we've got to commit again. Amen. There have been moments when I've felt myself being dry or cold spiritually. And I've just had to acknowledge that and be honest. And in an altar say, God, I lay myself back down all over again. I know I won't experience the same thing that I experienced the night I got born again. But I'm going to acknowledge that I need You. And I'm going to believe that You love us and You've got a plan for us. And I'm going to commit all over again to the things that You want to do and who You want me to be and the kind of man You want me to be and the kind of church You want me to be. We've got to commit again, young people. A few years back at youth camp, we signed a big sign that they were carrying around the front. It said, "We will not compromise." And one by one, our young people began to sign their name on that sign. And in a statement of faith said, "I will not compromise my beliefs, my service to God, and my commitment to Christ." I'm thankful that many of those who signed are still serving God and are doing great. But it saddens me to know that there are many signatures on there that are nothing more than a signature that says, "I did not fulfill what I promised to do." You know what's amazing about the grace of God, though? Is that tonight we can commit again. Amen. We might have messed up. We might have fallen. We might have made mistakes or have felt ourselves growing cold or weary or tired spiritually or even a little bit dry. But can I tell you, friend, the Spirit of the Lord is ready and willing and wanting to revive the hearts of His people. Amen. We don't have to slide. We can stay right where God wants us. Amen. We don't have to go the other way. We can get revived right in the middle of serving God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help us tonight. the saddest part of seeing when folks are sliding is that when you try to warn them that you see what's happening, they rebuff it and push away even further because they cannot see that they are on the most dangerous slope of all. Christ is the only solution to life. Christ is the only answer. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I prefer or determine as the most important thing in my life. It's all about Jesus. And when he becomes the forefront of all of our desires, whether that be our desires at school or at work or at home, all of a sudden we find ourselves connected again. Notice here, Jesus said, and I want us to stand after I make this statement. Jesus said, I chose you, and one of you is the devil. I began to ponder that today, Brother Heath. I think he's chose a lot of devils. But because he's Jesus, he's changed them. And I'm fully convinced that even Peter, who here makes a declaration that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, in a moment of triumph, go Peter, he's the very one in just a few short days is saying, I never knew him, and cursing about it. But he's still Jesus. And Jesus, I believe when he looked, the Bible says that Jesus and Peter saw each other. I used to believe just because it was wrong that Jesus was probably upset. I think Jesus looked at Peter and Peter saw that Jesus still loved him. Because that's why he went out and he wept bitterly. And that's why he went out and he repented. And that's why Jesus, when he was on the seashore, began to talk to Peter and said, Peter, feed my sheep. Because he was reviving Peter again. And folks that have slid in even farther than what maybe you have tonight have once again found the grace of God to be all complete, supplying every need. And now they sit and learn at Jesus' feet. Why? Oh, it's the blood of Christ that makes the difference. It's the blood of Jesus that can change. It's the blood of Christ that can bring us back to the truth of knowing him for ourselves. I want us to stand tonight. In the Old Testament, the prophet came to speak to a city, and the children of that city ran out and began to mock him, began to call him names, bald head, other things. The Bible said that prophet spoke forth a word, and all of a sudden bears came out and devoured those children. And when I was a kid, I used to think, man, that was really mean. He just called him bald head, but I realize now what happened. They were mocking the voice of God. They were mocking the very words that would have led them towards life. They were mocking it. I'm not claiming to be a prophet tonight, but I know what God is trying to speak tonight. And in no way will I say that there will be bears that will come out and devour. Probably not going to happen. There will be things that will devour you if you walk away from God. Yeah. You've seen it too many times to not know the end results, young people. Too many times of seeing young people that have shouted and worshipped around the altars only to find themselves out into a life that is depraved and messed up and broken, and it never had to be that way. Too many times of seeing adults that have once known the joys and liberty of serving God only to find themselves in the very chains that they once shouted about being free of. It doesn't have to be that way. And God may not send the bear out tonight to devour you, but I pray to God you would hear the voice of the spiritual devourers tonight. They are ready to gnash their teeth into your souls. I pray to God you would wake up tonight and hear that Jesus is calling you to a walk again. Amen. To a life relationship. To get out from the world. To be separate. To come out from the unclean thing. And to know what living is again. I pray to God you would hear the voice of the Lord and the words of God speak to your heart even right now. God, hear us. We need you. We need you. Oh, ikatalalabasai. Yatalalabasotoike otorere. Answer his call tonight. Answer his call. We use these steps up here as an altar, and it's a place where we can come and pray. Tonight you know what is the condition of your heart. And right now our flesh, if you're not in a place that's right with God, it'll tell you, I'm fine. That'll be the resounding words that you're hearing right now. I'm fine. And if you're speaking those words tonight, I want to tell you, you're the very one that Christ is talking to. Because those who know Christ understand how much we need him. And those who aren't sliding understand that we are all in a place where we could grow more and do more. And so tonight, if you're hearing those words, I'm fine, you are the very one that Jesus and the Spirit of God are speaking to right now. I want to invite you to come. I want to invite you to come, and I want you to know that Christ wants to live through you and in you. Are you going to come? Are you going to pass an opportunity by where God, the God of the universe, is speaking to you? Are there other things that are so important? Are there other things that are so much more important to you that you would rebuff the Spirit of God? Oh, choose life tonight. I found that it normally just takes getting past that first step. That first step of not moving, being afraid of what somebody might think. That first step of saying, I'm okay. That first step of saying, I'm fine. That first step of saying it was for somebody else. No, tonight Jesus wants to speak to you tonight. Step out and receive the help that Christ wants to give you. Yes. Get past that first step tonight. Get past that first step and find that there's life. Get past that first step and acknowledge that you need a fresh walk with Jesus. Get past that first step and acknowledge that you need him in a fresh and new way. Church, let's come find a place to pray. We've got folks coming. Let's pray with these. Oh God, we need you. I pray tonight that if you're at home listening on the internet, I pray that you would kneel at your home If you're listening while you're in the car, I pray that you would begin to pray even while you're driving, that God would come into your life. You don't have to be in the sanctuary right now, but I'm telling you, God wants to minister to you and change your life. Brothers and sisters, if you feel that you have been sliding, take time tonight and allow the Spirit of God to minister and equip you with a fresh walk with Him. Oh, that we would hear the truth of the Word of God. Oh, that we would know the truth. It will set you free. Oh, God. Renew my burden. God, renew my commitment to you. God, renew me, restore me, create in me a clean heart. Oh, renew a right spirit within me. Purge me and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, Jesus. Thankful for your grace and mercy, Jesus. Oh God, you love us tonight. Lord, you want to minister. You do not want to cast out. Oh God.